Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I really do enjoy being here. This really is like coming home. It's kind of a home away from home, and I feel so loved and part of the family, and I'm just so appreciative of every one of you. Fred and I are so thankful for the prayers that we know that you pray for us as we travel and we do things in the kingdom of God. We had kind of a change in our ministry and our life when my father died, and so his church needed a pastor, and Fred is pastoring that church, and I'm filling in all the blanks that are empty because he's not going on the mission field. And so I do a lot of traveling. People say, "Where do you live?" And I say, "Well, I have a home that I visit. Happens to be where my husband lives, and I really like going there." But I have been traveling so much, I can't even tell you how many times I have preached this year already. And in just a couple weeks, quickly, I'm leaving again for the Philippines. And after that trip, I have meetings in Canada, New Hampshire, California, New York, and then I go to Africa, and I'll be back for Christmas. So I really need your prayers and your love support, that heart that says, I'm just with you. I'm with you, and I appreciate it. I have on my table in the back, I've got my newsletter, and the reason I want you to get the newsletter is because on the second page is my schedule. It's missing something. I missed a couple things, but that schedule will help you remember to pray for me. So cut that schedule right out of the newsletter and stick it on your fridge and pray for me. I'd really appreciate that. I have several books out there. This one is called Creatures of the Forest. And some of you ladies have already started it. This sister right here started it. She said she didn't even want to go to bed last night. She wanted to keep going. And it's got a wonderful resource in the back to help you defeat the thoughts that want to destroy your life. So I encourage you to get that. I have my Keepers of Salt book that most of you know has to do with covenant. And we're going to talk about some of the covenant today. This book, Promise of Suddenly, is about the suddenlies that God can do in your life and what he's done in others' lives. It's a book of testimonies. So if you know someone that's discouraged, I have a lot of friends that buy that and give it to people in prison. And so I never thought about that, but that's what they do. This book called Poems to Live By, Dog of Blue, and this book, Any Old Bush, they're both devotional books. And they use the poems that my father wrote through the years. He wrote a lot of poems, just beautiful poems. And we put a devotional with it and some prayers to help you jumpstart your prayer life. And I believe that they will be a blessing to you. I often read these on Facebook. I will probably be doing some more again this fall, probably in January when I'm actually home. But please follow me on Facebook, friend me on Facebook, because I like to post pictures of what God's doing where I'm traveling, and you can just be a part of it. This is a book about the peace of God and an angelic warrior. It happens to be fiction. I never thought I'd write fiction, but this is about an angelic warrior that brings peace to difficult situations. I have another book that is out of print, but you can get it on Amazon, and I'll be getting some copies this week called The Storm Walker, and it's a study on Jesus walking on the water. And it's really a very special study for me. I also have my ties. Ladies, some of you got my ties yesterday, and I just had such a wonderful time making them, and I pray over them, and I've got jewelry. The jewelry's for a love offering. And I don't watch, I don't care, don't ask me how much it is, just stick something in my box, and when I get home, I'll count it. That's just, I'm not in a business, I'm in a blessing. I just don't have time to do business. So I'm not against business, I just can't do it. Anyways, today I want to talk to you about running your race and finding God to be more than you thought he could be. You see, there's so many promises from God that we don't even realize we have. And sometimes we look at them, we hear them, we embrace them, but we don't realize how powerful those promises are. And we're going to celebrate Holy Communion today. And there are a great many promises that are inside of this covenant ceremony. There are promises that can give you healing in your body, that can give you strength in your Christian walk, that can cause you to pursue God with a whole new excitement. And so often, we just take part in Holy Communion as an antiquated ceremony that we do because someone said we should. But the truth is, there's power in it. There's more power than you know. There's more anointing in it than you know. There's more authority in it than you know. There's more healing and more provision. There is more to this ceremony than you know. And I want you to realize some of it today. We could talk about this for weeks, but today I want you to just think about one aspect. And I'm going to talk about the covenant of bread that is part of Holy Communion. Most people don't talk about the covenant of bread. They didn't even know there was one. Well, when Jesus was celebrating the Last Supper with the disciples, he not only took the cup and said, "This is the cup of my suffering. This is the blood. This is a blood covenant." He also took the bread and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Now, if you were to do an illustration while you're teaching, and you were an Israelite or a Jewish person, and you were sitting at a Passover table, you would be looking at the leg of lamb that was laying there perfectly roasted. And of course, we know from the Word of God that Jesus is the Lamb of God. And you would be looking at that, and when Jesus took the bread, you'd say, "Why did he take the bread and say, 'This is my body which is broken for you,' instead of taking that perfectly roasted leg of lamb?" But he took the bread because the bread covenant is the fulfillment of the showbread in the tabernacle of Moses. And that bread signified the war is over. There is forgiveness today. Today I forgive you, the war is over, and we will walk together in a covenant of unoffended friendship. That's what it said. And so Jesus was saying to the disciples, "We are going to walk together in a covenant of unoffended friendship." That means that when you and I talk and we're in this covenant, then we can say, "No matter what you do, I will still stay in relationship with you." Isn't that what we were just talking about, what was going on in your church in the last week? We are in relationship. We're a family. When you get married and you stand before the pastor, this young woman and this young man, and you make your covenant declarations, you stand there and you say, "For better, for worse, in sickness and in health, richer or poorer, thereto I pledge you my faith." What you are saying is, from this day forward, no matter what you do, whether we are rich or poor, whether you become bald or gray-haired, or no matter what happens to you, you can't offend me because I make a declaration of faith. You see, when we stand before the pastor and we're getting married, we can't prove our faith. We're making a prophetic declaration of our faith. Today, I can stand here and I can prove my faith because my husband and I have been married 40 years. So I can say to you, I have proven my faith. But when you are standing before the pastor on the day you get married, you are prophesying into your future. You forgive the past and you prophesy into your future. You don't live in the past. You prophesy a new future. So when we take part in Holy Communion, we are prophesying a future into ourselves. We're making a declaration of faith. We are making a promise before God. Now, this covenant of bread speaks of forgiveness. And you see, when we forgive one another, there's power there. And there's more power than you think. I shared with the ladies yesterday a story that happened to me in Benin, and I want to go on with that story. So I'll share the story again. I was teaching on this. I was teaching on the power of covenant. And when we finished with our service, I said to the people in the church, "I want you to forgive one another. And I want you to make a declaration that before God, you are walking in forgiveness. And if the person that you need to forgive isn't here in the room, then go to someone you trust, somebody that you love in the church, and say to them, 'I want you to be a witness between God and me that today I forgive that person.'" And so people were doing that all over the church. And people were crying and milling around and hugging each other. And all of a sudden, I saw this older lady come up to my friend, Pastor Augustine, and she's shaking her finger at him. And I just had this vision of her yelling at him and telling him all the things she'd been offended about. And I'm thinking, I'm going to have to pray for him and help him when this is over. I don't know what I did. I opened this up, and so he comes back, and he's sitting with me. And he starts to cry, and he says, Mama, do you see what's going on? And I said, no, I don't see what's going on. There's people everywhere. And suddenly from the back of the church, I saw this young woman with a baby strapped to her back, crawling on her hands and knees. And she crawled all the way up to near the front where the old woman was sitting, and she laid her head in the old woman's lap. And Pastor Augustine said to me, he said, Mama, do you see what that is? I said, no. He said, did you see the woman talking to me? I said, yes, I did. He said, she was saying, Pastor, between you and me, I declare before God that I want my daughter back in my life. I forgive her. She's tried to kill me. She's been out of my life for so long, and I just want her back. So today I forgive her. And he said, Mama, that's the daughter. She wasn't born again. She'd never entered the church. She didn't know what was going on. She didn't know her mother was there. But the power of God reached outside of the church and drew her in right to her mother. And Pastor Augustine said to me, he said, Oh, Mama, I'd do anything for you, Mama. I said, honey, I didn't do that. God did that. And then all of a sudden, a light bulb went off in my brain. I said, did you mean it? Would you really do anything for me? He said, oh, yeah. I said, well, I got an email from my cousin just the other day, and she asked me if we had twins in our orphanage because she wants to adopt twin girls. And I said, we found out that we do have twin girls in the orphanage, and they are available for adoption. But I said, I don't know how to do it. So if you really would do anything for me, you're going to help me do this. You know, there was something in that communion that was birthing something in the future. There was something in that that was even bigger than that church. He looked at me and he said, oh, Mama, my auntie's the head family court judge in the whole country. He said, I'll take you to my auntie. She's the judge. So we went to the judge. We did all of the paperwork. We did everything we needed to do. And it was a miracle. And they told me, we think that you can process the girls by June, but one of the parents, your cousin, has to come. So I told my cousin, she'd never left the country. She said, I don't want to go to Africa. And I said, if you want the kids, you do, because the judge wants to see you. So the judge sent me an email and said that everything was finished, everything was right, and we could come. And it was June, month of June. My cousin got herself a passport. We bought the tickets. We went all the way to Benin just in time for the whole country to go into a strike. And none of the secretaries were working, and there was nothing we could do. We sat there week after week after week. She thought it would be a two-week trip. We had those little girls with us. They stayed with us in the guest house, and they were bonding with their mother. And every day my cousin would cry, and she'd say, I can't take this. I miss my husband. I miss my kids, and I just don't know what I'm going to do. And I would just look at her, and I'd say, stop, you're crying. And she'd say, but I said, stop your crying. I said, you're stronger than you know. The power of God is stronger than you know. You have situations in your life that go on every day. And there are times when you want to cry, but I want you to know, as children of the Most High God, you are stronger than you know. Remember when Gideon was facing the angel of the Lord? And the angel of the Lord said, hello there, mighty warrior. And Gideon was basically saying, who are you talking to? But God said, you're stronger than you know. There's more power in your relationship with God than you know. There's more healing available for you today than you know. So every day, I would take Pastor Augustine, and he and I would go from office to office to office. I said, I want those papers signed, and I don't care if I have to go to the president's office, and I did. I went to the Supreme Court. I went from place to place to place, and everywhere I went, they all would say, there's nothing we can do because of this strike. We cannot do anything. United States. And I said to them, what can we do? And they said, go home. I said, what do you mean go home? They said, this strike is going to go on till November. You have to leave the children here. You cannot take the children with you. You have to go home and then come back. They said, we expect that this strike will go on until sometime November, and we will let you know when it's over. I went to my cousin. I said, I've been to the U.S. Embassy. I've talked to the airline. The embassy says we have to go home, and the airline says we cannot change our tickets one more time. We have to leave tonight. And my cousin was devastated. And she started to cry. And I said, you stop your crying. I said, we're Elwell girls. Elwell girls don't give up. She just looked at me. I said, no, I'm telling you the truth. You don't give up. Don't you be crying. Don't you be upset. I said, those children cannot see you cry. She said, why can't they see me cry? I said, because they have to have faith that whatever is going on in their life right now is actually going to happen. And if you are crying, that will destroy their faith. She said, well, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to have a party. What do you think we're going to do? I said, we're going to pack up our stuff. You're going to put the girls down for a nap. You're going to pray for them. And while they're sleeping, you're going to pack up all their stuff. And we're going to have a party. I'm going to call all the pastors I know that have kids. We're going to go to the ice cream shop. We're going to have pizza and Coke and ice cream. And then we're going home. And she said, well, what's going to happen to the girls? And Pastor Augustine is sitting right there in this conversation. I said, they're going home with him. And he says, they're going home with me? I said, yes, call your wife up and tell her that the children are going home with you. And he says, what are you going to say to the kids? I said, I'm not going to say anything to the kids. You are. And he said, why do I have to do it? I said, because I don't speak their language. And he said, but I don't know what to say. I said, Pastor Augustine, if you have never been prophetic in your life, you're going to be tonight. I said, you get a word from God for these little girls. And I said, don't you dare tell them they can't go to America. You cannot use those words. I don't care what you say to them, but you cannot say that you can't go to America. So we got together, and my cousin's just fighting the tears constantly. And we get to the restaurant. And we had to be at the airport at 10 o'clock at night. We got to the restaurant about 5:30. I'll tell you, I bought ice cream and pizza until 9 o'clock. I mean, we had to stay there. The kids had to play. I didn't care how much ice cream they got because they were going home with Pastor Augustine anyways. And so I'm just buying stuff to keep everybody occupied. And my cousin is crying. And I'm talking to Pastor Augustine. And finally I said, it's time. He called the little girls over. And he said, Mama has to go to America tonight to fix your house. And she wants to know what you want in your house. And the little girls, they laughed at each other and they smiled and they said, well, you know, if we had a broom, we could help clean the house. And my cousin is standing behind the girls, nodding her head with the tears, silent tears running down her face. Yes, I'll buy them brooms. No problem, no problem. Augustine says, isn't there anything else that you would like to do for the girls or for Mama to do? They said, well, since she has been with us, we have had bread and cheese, and we really like bread and cheese. We never had bread and cheese before. Could we have bread and cheese in our house in America? And my cousin's standing there with those tears coming down her face. Yes, yes, yes. And Augustine said, is there anything else that you would like? And they said, we've been admiring your shirt all day. Do you think we could have some new clothes in America? And he said, yes. And my cousin says, yes. And he says, is there anything else you want? And the children said, is it true that we can have anything we want in America? And Pastor Augustine, he said, yes. So they ran to the other side of the restaurant. And they had a little conference. And they came back and they said, if it's really true that we can have anything we want in America, do you think we could have electricity in our house? And my cousin said, I'll put it in every room. Those little girls were so excited. They grabbed Pastor Augustine's hand and they ran out of the restaurant and didn't even say goodbye to my cousin. They were so excited because something was happening. And they had faith that something was happening. And they knew that something was happening. Their house was being built. Their mama was getting things ready. And if they had to wait, that's fine, because they knew they were going to have a house. I want you to know something is happening in your life. You may not see it. You may not realize it. But Jesus said, I go to the Father and I'm preparing a place for you. Well, I want you to know, not only is he preparing a place for you in the future, but he's preparing for you in the now. And there's more power, there's more anointing, there's more provision than you have ever experienced. And if you can stand and walk in this covenant relationship with God, then you can experience what God has for you. Amen? Amen. It all started because one woman said, between you and me, I want to make a declaration to God that I forgive my daughter. It all started because one woman had faith to make a declaration and to draw on the anointing of this covenant ceremony. My husband went back in November, and the judge called him up and said, those little girls are ready. He's flying all the way to West Africa through Casablanca, and he's got these 2 4-year-olds, one's on one foot and one's on the other foot. Just got their arms wrapped right around his legs, and he brings them to America. And we met them in New York City at the airport. And I'll tell you, they thought that Uncle Fred was the most wonderful person in the world until they saw their mama. And then they forgot who Uncle Fred was. And those little girls, the flight had been long, the flight had been hard, and they fell asleep in the airport. And my cousin and her husband and their other 2 children buckled those kids in their new car seats. They drove them all the way home, a good 8-hour trip in the middle of the night. They laid them down in their brand new beds, in their brand new jammies. And in the morning, they woke up and they were in America. Their dream had come true. Their hopes had come true. What dreams and hopes do you have? What is it that's been laying on your heart? What is it that when we come together today in this wonderful ceremony of Holy Communion, what is there? What is that one thing that is that just keeps being a burden on your heart that you can say, today I'm going to take part in this covenant ceremony and I'm going to forgive this person and I'm going to believe that God is going to redeem a situation for me because of my act of forgiveness? What situation can you lay at the bread and the cup, at this altar that represents Jesus' life blood? What thing can you lay on this altar and say, God, I need an answer for this situation? You know, Isaiah says, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. You see, there's healing in the bread. There's healing in the bread. There is a direct correlation between healing and the bread. And if you say, I refuse to forgive someone, what you're really saying is, I would rather be sick. And listen to me, folks, you don't forgive for the other person. It doesn't matter if they deserve it or not. You forgive for yourself. You forgive for your own relationship with God. It doesn't make any difference what the other person did. You're forgiving. You're letting go death. You know, we have no business with death. That's death. Unforgiveness is death. It brings death to your body. It brings death to your spirit. It brings death to who you are in God. And it separates you from the Father. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you. God wants to do a miracle in your life. And I want to tell you, folks, this has been welling up within me since last night. I was thinking about this morning, and I have to say, I totally forgot all about my PowerPoint. But I had this word in my heart, and I just want to share it with you. Brother Mel, you have seen waves. It's like this church has been on the coastline, and you've seen the waves, and you've seen the waves. And you've seen the miracles, and you've seen the things that God can do, and you've gone through the good seasons, you've gone through the hard seasons, but I want you to know there's a tsunami coming. There is a wave beyond anything you have ever seen before. You have invested, you have sacrificed, you have believed when it was hard to believe. You have stood faithful, you have stood when other people have fallen. You have stood and you have believed for the impossible. But I declare to you today, there is a tsunami coming. There is a new wave coming, and it's going to be greater than the former days. These latter days will be much greater than the former days. The things that you've seen in the past will in no wise be able to compare themselves to what God is going to do in this place. And I challenge you, as people who are the congregation in this church, just like Jesus said, he said, go and wait for the Holy Spirit to fall, and they waited for the day of Pentecost. I want to tell you folks something. You go out and get your neighbors and bring them here, because the Holy Spirit's going to fall. You go out and get the ones that are sick and the ones that need healing, because the Holy Spirit is going to fall. And I can't say whether it's going to happen today or tomorrow or next week, but God has called you to be like those who lived during the days of Peter and John, where they stood and they waited for the Holy Spirit to fall, and they were faithful to wait for the Holy Spirit to fall. Because if you will do this, if you will anticipate it, if you will believe for it, the Holy Spirit is going to fall, and you're going to see people healed and delivered and set free. You're going to see the promises fulfilled. I believe that. I believe that. I saw it. I saw it. I saw the waves coming in. And I heard the Lord say, be faithful, be faithful. Bring them in, bring them in. Tell them the Holy Spirit is coming. Be the PR, be the public relations committee. Bring them in, because the Holy Spirit is going to fall. You're going to see people healed from dramatic illnesses. You're going to see people changed. You're going to see demonic spirits cast away. Because there's life here. There's life here. There's more power here than you know. You're stronger than you know. The power of God is stronger than you know. God's power is stronger than your marriage, stronger than your sickness, stronger than the difficulties you have with your kids. I want you to know that the power of God is stronger than you can ever imagine. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. God has called us to be runners. I hope, when you're in school and they do the fire drill, they always say, walk, don't run. I'm going to tell you today, run, don't walk. Run the race. Get people. Tell them, I have an answer for your problems. You get here, and the Holy Spirit's going to touch you. You get here, and the Holy Spirit will move in your life. You know, when I was a little girl, well, not a little girl, I would have to say probably an older teenager, and in my early 20s, I did something that just annoyed my father. I mean, it annoyed him to no end, but it always worked. I would say to everybody, any of my friends that were getting married, I said, listen, if you invite my dad, he'll prophesy over you. And I would tell people that all the time. He'd say, will you quit telling people that? He said, you can't just tell people to invite me and have me come prophesy over them. Well, I want to tell you something. I'm going to speak over you. If you invite people to come, God will touch them. If you will take the faith that you've got and you will bring people in here, God will change their life. And I don't care what you have to do. You tell them you'll take them to lunch afterwards. You tell them that you'll pick them up. You tell them whatever you have to do to get them here, but you get them here. Because the Holy Spirit's going to fall. The Holy Spirit's going to move. And they need you. They need you. You're the soldiers in this church. You are mighty warriors. You are athletes running the race. You are being prepared for this great ministry that God is going to give you. Some of you are great evangelists and you don't even know it. Some of you are great intercessors and you don't even know it. There's power in you that you don't know you have. Now we're going to celebrate Holy Communion and we're going to take that cup. The cup represents being oneness in Jesus. The bread represents the oneness that we have in the body of Christ. The cup represents forgiveness between us and God. We take the cup, we know that the blood of Jesus brings us into a relationship that says, I forgive you, I've shed my blood, you have come to the cross. For whosoever would believe on him and believe on the blood that was shed, they shall be saved. And there is forgiveness, there's this relationship that we get through the cup that comes to us. Because of that covenant. But you know what? The bread represents the forgiveness that we offer to each other. So this is the difference between the cup and the bread. The cup is our relationship with God. The bread is our relationship with each other. So as we take part in this Holy Communion, and you can look at this in 1 Corinthians 11:23-24, it says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We're going to take that bread, and we're going to do it in remembrance of him. And we're going to declare that the power of this covenant falls upon us. And I want you, as a step of faith, before we take that bread, I want you to take just a minute. And I want you to think about the person that you need to forgive. Maybe that person is dead. Maybe that person is gone. Maybe you don't know where they are. But they did something to you, and they hurt you so deeply, you have carried these wounds with you for a long time. I want you to think about that. I want you to close your eyes right now and say in your heart, Lord, remind me who it is that I need to forgive. Lord, make yourself real to me and cause your Holy Spirit to work in my life. Father, I want to forgive, but it's hard. But today I make that choice that I will forgive. And if I have to forgive that person again tomorrow, I'll forgive them again tomorrow. If I have to forgive them again next week, I'll forgive them again next week, because I declare today that from this day forward, they can't offend me. Because I refuse to be offended. And now I want you to think of the situation in your life that you need the power of God to work in. I want you to think about what is it that's going on in your life that you need God to desperately change. Whether you have a physical infirmity, whether you're dealing with depression and thoughts of suicide, whether your marriage is bad or your kids are driving you crazy, no matter what it is, I want you to think about it and I want you to say, Lord, I lift this person up to you right now. I lift my body up to you right now. I lift my marriage up to you right now. I declare today that I'm walking in the power of this covenant relationship. I declare today that the power of this covenant is available for me today. And as I stand in forgiveness and declare the power of God, I see it applied to my situation today. In Jesus' name. Now, Pastor Mel, I want us to distribute this, and I want us to share this covenant together. I want you to make a demand on this anointing. You make a demand on this anointing. You say, God, I am applying my faith to this covenant. And when we are all done taking this, we're going to stand up, and you're going to go to somebody you trust. A friend, an elder, doesn't matter. And you're going to say, be a witness between me and God. And today I forgive this person. And I want you to make a step of faith. And I believe it will change your life. Amen? Okay, Pastor.
Father, we come before you as you told us to remember you. Remember for what you have done for us. And Lord, we want to thank you, first of all, for giving us of all our sins. As the ushers come, we ask that you will just, Lord, help us to receive that forgiveness personally within our lives here today. We thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have to come before this table of the unoffended bread covenant, Lord, here today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for how that you are helping us to make sure that we are righteous and holy and completely forgiven. And Lord, then we forgive others. In Jesus' name, just make this real to our heart as we go into this covenant relationship.
I just see so many people. I see you in my spiritual eyes, and I see you reaching out to the Lord, and I see you making these declarations, and I see strength coming into bones. I just hear the Lord saying, I'm making bones strong. There's someone here, you've got weak bones. Your bones have been so weak, and you've been fragile. And God is making your bones strong. I see migraine headaches flying out the windows. I see broken hearts being mended. I just see this divine sewing needle with gold thread just sewing the broken heart together. If you're the one with that broken heart, don't give up. Don't give up. God is mending your heart. It'll be stronger when he's finished than it ever has been. You're not fragile. You think you're fragile, but you're not fragile. I see a family of kids that grew up in church, and every one of them has walked away and they're doing their own thing. But I declare to you right now, your kids are going to come and they're going to be here. And they're going to love God and they're going to serve God with all of their heart. And there's a change coming. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Brothers and sisters, there's more power than you know. You're stronger than you know. You're stronger than you know. Don't give up, because there's a harvest coming, and it's not a long ways away. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We take this cup and we hold the cup up to the Lord, and we look at that as it represents the blood of Jesus. And we imagine the blood of Jesus flowing from the top of his head all the way to his feet. And it's the blood of the covenant that gives us salvation and washes us free from all of our sin. And we do this in reaffirming our covenant with God, because we already made that covenant. I know you did. You said, Lord Jesus, come live in my heart and be the Lord of my life. And you already made this covenant, but you're making an established declaration over this covenant right now that sin will not lord over me. And I am not controlled by sin, but I'm controlled by the power of the blood of Jesus. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he said, this is the cup of my new covenant. Take this and drink this in remembrance of me. So shall we drink it together in remembrance of the Lord? And now we take this bread. And Jesus broke the bread. And he said, this is my body that was broken for you. Today, we make a declaration before God that we are going to be willing to be broken for others. We will not allow offense to divide us, but we will walk in a covenant relationship that has power over all the evil that goes on in this world. We will walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and this covenant will be alive in us, and we will apply it to our lives. And today, not only to those in relationship with us, but Father, I apply this to our bodies right now in this place. And I declare that your healing power is flowing through this place right now. And I come against any kind of mental fatigue. I just sense God is healing minds. He's healing minds. He's healing bodies. He's healing hearts. He's healing kidneys. He's healing people with thoughts that are devastating them. Thoughts of depression and despair. And he's calling you out of the pit. And even like Jesus called for Lazarus and he said, Lazarus, come forth. With this bread today, I call you forth in Jesus' name. And I call you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And we unwrap the grave clothes and we speak life into you. The life that comes from the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus said, take this as my body. It was broken for you. And do this in remembrance of me. So take the bread in remembrance of him. And now I want you all to stand up. And I want you to find someone. Find a friend. You can go in groups of two, three, or four. I don't care. Find your friend. Find an elder in the church. Find somebody. Find somebody. And I want you to say to them, would you be a witness between me and God? Say that to each other. Would you be a witness between me and God? Because today I want to make a declaration. Because today I want to make a declaration. Today, before God, I choose to forgive the people who have offended me. Now, God knows your heart. If you don't want to say the person's name, that's okay. But God knows. And then now that you said that, I want you to pray, each of you. And I want you to say, God, I apply that healing power to my life. I apply that healing power to my friend's life. I apply that healing power to my situation. And I declare today that I can draw from the anointing of this covenant relationship. I can draw from the power of this covenant relationship because I walk in the authority of this covenant. Now I'm going to pray for you. And I believe that you're going to go home and things are going to change. I see God do these things all over the world, and God is no respecter of persons, and he can do it here. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I declare according to the authority that I have through the blood of Jesus Christ and by the covenant of his word that I walk in, I declare that you will be doing things in lives today. Father, as each person has stood here today, I speak into their situation. I speak into their family. I speak into their bodies. I speak into their needs. Father, I speak into their minds, and I say, you have the mind of Christ. You have the power of the blood of Jesus, and I apply it, Father. We believe in a living God, Lord Jesus. You are the living God, and this is life. This is life more abundantly. This is not just enough to hang on. This is life, and that more abundantly, Father. Lord Jesus, touch each person in this place. May your Holy Spirit fall upon them in a very powerful way. May your Holy Spirit fall upon them, and may they receive from you the impartation that they have been looking for a long time. Father, may they see healing for their situations. I just speak it into their life right now. I speak it into their life right now. I speak it into their life right now. And Father, we are going to walk in this covenant. We forgive the past and we prophesy a future. We are forgiving the past today, Lord, and we are prophesying of future. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you rejoice with me? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus.
Amen. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Praise God. We can go forth with the peace and the grace and the anointing upon our hearts.